Hello there. It's your host, Isaac. We're going to talk about rappers today.
I know. No more rappers.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now, if you don't know who that is, if you don't listen to rap music, don't turn that off yet. Hey, stay with me for a minute here, okay? This is very important. Like everything I say is so important. Get your notebook out. Write this down. No, we're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. And if you don't know who that is, he's a rapper. Currently incarcerated as of this recording, December 2018. And I want to talk to you about it for many reasons. First, I'm going to spoil the plot here. I'm going to tell you what I think about 6ix9ine. I think he is, he's the modern day Tupac. Yeah, I want to let that sink in for a minute. He is the modern day Tupac. If you believe in tarot and astrology and magic and all these ideas that there's this collective unconscious and we dibble dabble and cause changes in conformity with the will, these dogs in the house, they feel it. You guys think 6ix9ine is Tupac? Oh shit, maybe not. Maybe they don't. Okay. Now, I'm going to back that up with all this whole show. So if you want to hear why that is, I'm going to explain to you why. Because it's not an easy answer. Much like all questions and things in this realm of conspiracy, it's not a simple answer. It's very complex, very complicated. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk a little bit about Tekashi 6ix9ine, who he is, and his role in this big agenda. Why am I talking about a rapper with tattoos on his face? As you know, I wrote the book Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, talking about rappers and the rap industry and how it is involved with the Illuminati, featured in Complex magazine. And I think the journey continues. It doesn't end. Ever since I wrote that book, I even had to do a second revision sort of edition, second edition of it, after I went on Shade 45 to defend it. There's a lot of very strange things happening in the rap industry. It does not make sense. So let's get into it. Enough of the preamble. Who's Tekashi 6ix9ine? Well, his name is actually Daniel Hernandez. Born in 1996. Now, to put that in perspective, because I'm an older head, you know. I grew up in the golden age of 90s hip-hop. He was born the same year that Tupac died. Maybe he's the reincarnated Tupac. Let's throw that first theory out there. This guy... he's from Brooklyn, New York. Where's he at in New York? Not Bed-Stuy. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Somewhere in Brooklyn. And I'm sure all the New York fans out there pulling their hair out. What neighborhood is he from? It'll come to me before this is over. This is just a conversation between me and you, so we're not gonna take a break to look it up. We're gonna let curiosity run through our minds. Much like Mr. Rogers told us about many years ago before he died. Before cell phones were around, he said that technology would destroy our sense of wonder. So don't pick up that phone. Don't get on the stupid Google. Google just shows you what they want you to see anyways. Don't look it up. We're just going to let our brains build up like a muscle, and we're going to think about this. His dad died when he was 13. Worked multiple jobs. Lived in a low-income house. The whole sad story. Sold drugs. Wikipedia says that he sold heroin. Heron. He did a term up at Rikers Island, the prison system up there in New York. And at this point, so the official narrative goes, he linked up with the Nine Trey Gangsters. Now, this is the gang you hear him shout out in his songs when he talks about the Billies. Apparently, they're a subset of the Bloods. And just to put a clarification on all this, I am a white, cisgender male in my late 30s. And I know nothing about gang life besides what I see on TV. I do enjoy the rap music, been a member of this hip-hop community since I was a child. So I consider myself an expert on the music, at least, or the characters within the industry, okay? And for the layman, Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's this young man who has tattoos all over his face, got the big 6ix9ine on his forehead. He's got a tattoo of 69 on his body a couple hundred times all over his arms. And he's in his videos, he's generally very aggressive, pointing guns, hanging out with gang members, throwing up gang signs, so on and so forth. He actually became famous in 2017. That's very recent. That's only a year ago, with a song called Gummo. Now, they call him the king of SoundCloud, but he's not really a SoundCloud rapper, per se. I mean, he doesn't even have a SoundCloud, turns out. But the idea is that here is a relatively unknown artist who just found ways to record using, I don't know, phones, whatever was handy, and upload them to the internet. And it caught on, and boom, there's this guy. This guy has the rainbow hair, face tats, and he's known for talking a lot of smack about other artists. He released a mixtape that actually charted. It charted at number 4 on the top 100 chart. Number 4. I mean, think about that. That's pretty insane when you think about it. These songs that most people are familiar with are Kuda, Kiki, Tati, Fifi, etc. Sure, most of you that don't know what I'm talking about are like, what in the hell is he saying? That's the names of the tracks. Don't ask me. I don't know what they mean. I'll talk to you a little bit more about it later on. But again, he became sort of infamous for also having these very extreme sort of videos. You know, he started beefs with all these other rappers like Trippy Red, YG, Chief Keef. And we could go into all that, but that's a rabbit hole you probably don't want to get into right now. Especially, I'm trying to keep this light for those of you who aren't into rap music. But to sum up a lot of this drama, like for example, Trippy Red, another rapper, he accused 6ix9ine of being a gay or a pedophilia, because that comes from a 2015 incident he had. Where, I mean, this is a couple years before he was famous, right? He pled guilty to a crime called use of a child in a sexual performance, period. It's apparently a video that he had, and I wasn't following him back then. It's apparently a video where a 13-year-old girl is performing oral on another guy, while Tekashi is alleged to be, you know, standing behind this child, making a thrusting motion and smacking her butt, and I guess the child is nude. Obviously, I'm not looking this video up on my computer, as I don't advise you to do. I don't know if it exists. I don't know if it's online. I trust me when I say I believe people are watching my every move online. Not that I'm that important, but I think that the things I talk about show up on the list of terms to watch out for. So I'm not going to type those things onto my computer. I don't advise you to, but, you know, to each his own. But apparently this video has, he claimed he was 17 when the video was filmed, but actually he was 18. And he also claims that he did not know she was a minor. So, in the worst sense, he was 18 and she was 13 and this happened, and maybe he knew she was 13. I don't know. And again, like, you got to put things in perspective. I don't know what kind of environment this kid grew up in. It didn't sound like the best environment. Maybe this sort of level of debauchery is sort of normalized. I don't know. All I know is when I see on these shows and films and stuff. You know, if this kid's really living this gang life and selling heroin, like, I mean, morals can easily go out the window. Or let's play devil's advocate a little bit. What if this girl is almost 14? And again, I'm not excusing this, okay? What if the girl is almost 14 and he was barely 18? So maybe you could essentially say she was 14, he was 17. Maybe, right? Like, that doesn't sound as bad. But nonetheless, he was given 4 years probation and told that he can't say the word Treyway because it promotes gang activity. Because again, like I mentioned earlier, he went to Rikers and apparently hooked up with this subset of the Bloods. And, I guess he was really scared because this court hearing or whatever you call it was just recently, not that long ago, a few months ago. And he was very scared. He thought he was going to have to do a lot of serious time. And he was very grateful that the result came out the way it did. But, you know, like I said, I don't know what the video looked like. Maybe she looked older. Maybe he knew. I don't know. That's just what happened. So Takashi had a very, very hot 2018 summer, okay? Between that and all of these other beefs he had started that started coming to a head in July 2018, he was kidnapped, robbed in Brooklyn. There was many shootings headed his way, either like towards his entourage or at his video shoots, all the way up through a couple weeks ago, November 2018. This guy's surrounded by violent activity. And this is what's crazy, is his first actual album, Dummy Boy, it was released after he was in prison on November 27th, 2018, just a couple weeks ago. Of course, it crushed it on the charts, supporting the low vibrational formula that I talked about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, where all of these negative things actually pay off in terms of monetary reimbursement, right? Now, why was he in prison, you may ask? Well, because previously we talked about the child video. Wasn't for that. He got arrested at the end of November for racketeering and firearms charges, RICO charges, including conspiracy to murder, armed robbery, and he's facing a life sentence for this. And it sounds, it sounds like unreal almost. It sounds like something from a movie, a plot of a movie. Now, a lot of people are talking about him and he sparks a lot of opinions. You've got people that are disgusted with what appears on the surface to be the the child video. Rightfully so. You've got people that look at this kid with the face tattoos talking about, living in a gang life and say, well, he deserves that. Lock him up. Throw away the key. And then you've got some of the bleeding heart libtards that look at this guy and say, this guy is a product of his environment. Never had a chance. He actually gets a shot to kind of turn his life around and be a good person. And now this happens. All of his past transgressions are catching up to him now. It's kind of unfair. It's kind of not right. Which camp am I in? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's move forward. I'm more of... It's a tough one because I did a lot of research on this guy these last couple weeks. I've watched a lot of his interviews, all of his music videos. And I've got a little bit of sympathy for the guy. I mean, the the child video thing is, again, on the surface, it sounds pretty bad. But, you know, depending on the circumstances, maybe it's not that bad. I don't know. I haven't seen the video. You can miss me with that. I ain't typing it in on my computer. No way. Not with Google watching me. No, no, no. Bushwick. That's where he's from. He's from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Home of Bushwick Bill, right? Just kidding. Bushwick Bill's not actually from there, apparently. He's from Jamaica. Down by the beach. Boy. The, Tekashi, yeah. So, sorry. Yeah, so, okay, so one idea, and this is what sort of sparked this whole concept here. So, big ups to, Christina and, rest in peace, Michelle, a friend, apparently. There was this idea that came to me via, email, DMs, I don't know. SoundCloud rappers. What's their role in the big agenda? They're disrupting the music industry and their business model. And what the message was that I got from Christina was that there's a, you know, it sparked me to reconsider all of these ideas and ask myself, well, does this make sense? Does this make sense that the SoundCloud rappers are causing a problem? Are they giving headaches to the music industry? Which, as we've talked about in the past, there are gatekeepers that allow someone to become rich and famous in general. But the problem with the internet is now it can become a bit more organic. Now you've got these people who have entire careers and lots of money on the line built into this system. And these SoundCloud rappers who can buy a beat online, record the audio with the cheap microphone, upload it for free, they've got the chance to break out with no sort of contract to be signed. The Faustian bargain is thus side-skirted. So yeah, I think it's very possible that the SoundCloud rappers are disrupting the industry so much that they need to make an example out of someone. And what better person than the king of SoundCloud himself, Tekashi 6ix9ine. I mean, think about it. He got kidnapped, then arrested on RICO charges. Not a good summer. On Instagram, you can see an image of him signing a contract, and he says he's signing a contract with the Illuminati. Now, of course, it's probably just a joke. But maybe not. Or maybe we could say, at the very bare minimum, he's aware of this idea, of this concept, of the Faustian bargain. Let's go back to July 2017. Adam 22 from No Jumper. That's another sort of, it's a hip-hop podcast sort of thing. Video? Vlog? I'm not sure. It's this guy with tons of tattoos as well. And he's always picking up all these girls, and he's always talking to rappers, and he's just living a great life. I've heard some people say that they think Adam 22 is, in fact, part of the agenda, because he sort of came out of nowhere. I don't know enough about the guy. I know who he is, and that's about it. But he interviewed Tekashi 6ix9ine back in July of 2017. This is before Gummo came out. Gummo was his first sort of hit video. And if you listen to that interview, 6ix9ine says that, because Adam asked him about what does it mean? What is the whole thing with a 6ix9ine? Because you would assume he's talking about a sexual act. The yin and the yang, if you will. The unholy yin and yang. He says that 6ix9ine is a lifestyle. And during the interview, he says he doesn't want to get into it yet. He just wants people to know about him first, okay? And later, a little sneak preview, later I'm going to talk to you why that is important. Because the idea that 6ix9ine is a lifestyle will play into later comments, which play into my Tupac idea. Because he is, in fact, promoting a lifestyle. Now, on the surface, it looks violent. Looks like it promotes gang violence. But it does not. Is that enough teasers for you to stick around? I hope so. Now, it's kind of ironic during the interview, Adam 22 says that his, you know, he's talking to him, says your videos are very unique. And it's kind of funny because at this point, before Gummo came out, 6ix9ine had a few videos and they were a little bit, I don't know, different. They had like more anime edges to them, kind of like this weird sort of apocalyptic stuff. And during this interview, 6ix9ine says about how dumb rap videos are because they're always just full of like gang mobs and guns. But then you fast forward a few months to October 17, his first sort of big video, Gummo. That's all it is a sort of mob of bloods and guns and such. All the great things that suburban white boys like me enjoy. Now, there's some other interesting tidbits from this interview. He talks about how brand name clothes don't mean anything to him. And he dropped out from high school in the eighth grade. It's probably middle school, huh? Junior high. After his father died. Again, his father died at the age of 13. He died just, he said, 6ix9ine said he was home waiting for his dad to come home. And he had got killed right outside the house. And he said he had these fits of blackout rage. So this kid had some problems, right? So he drops out and he tries to support his mother. He got a job as a busboy. He said he was too weak to hold the tray up. And he's got a good humor. He's apparently half Mexican, half Puerto Rican. And he kind of makes jokes about how he thought it was in his blood to be able to be a busboy. But he couldn't do it, and he started trapping, selling drugs, is what that means. And then it's really awful. He tells you a sad story about how his mom had to give him some new shoes, and she found a box and some shoes she found in a dumpster in the garbage that were new-ish, and she kind of cleaned them up and gave them to him as a gift, and he knew they were dug up from the garbage. But, yeah, so then, and this is what plays into the big sort of idea here, is he tells you what, at the time he was pushing a thing called Scum Gang. Later it became more focused on Treyway, but in 2017 he was talking about Scum Gang all the time. And scum, he said, means society can't understand me. Now, what does this sound like to you? It's just like Thug Life, Tupac. Because Thug Life, again, like you hear Scum Gang and on the surface you think like, oh, it's whatever. Same with Thug Life. But if you look a little deeper into what they're saying, you know, Thug Life was the hate you give little infants F's everyone. Same idea. Society can't understand me. Now, we can move past that. He does this interview in 2017 in July. Then releases a bunch of videos, gets real successful. And then in March 2018, he's on The Breakfast Club. This is a very popular, I think it's a New York interview format online. And he starts out the interview talking about how the hip-hop police were harassing him. This is the idea that, again, this there's an organized system within, you know, the police forces and in hip-hop. There's more going on behind the scenes than the masses know about, right? Which could easily flow into ideas of the Illuminati. And on The Breakfast Club here, on the first one, he's going to tell a story about how Jay Prince's son, Jay Prince again is, I know there's a lot of characters here, right? Jay Prince is a very prominent figure in hip-hop history. Jay Prince actually founded a record label, and he broke out the Houston hip-hop scene, the Ghetto Boys. Again, ironically, tying us back to Bushwick Bill. It's funny I just said that. Bushwick Bill and Scarface and, can't remember the other guy. They're in the Ghetto Boys from Houston. This is the late 80s, early 90s. Anyways, Jay Prince's son is involved in the rap game too, like Pops. And apparently, Tekashi says that Jay Prince Jr. came into the store and 6ix9ine said what's good to him. And Prince didn't think he was humble enough. So, 6ix9ine said Prince could have addressed any problem that he had with him in the store for that hour they were in there together. But then Jay Prince Jr. waited till he had all his people to actually address 6ix9ine that he had a problem with it. And 6ix9ine says that this dude was clout chasing and how he's a grown ass man with kids. And, you know, J. Prince stuff could easily go into a discussion on Drake. If you recall, Pusha T and Drake had a beef of sorts. And J. Prince himself, senior, got involved and shut it down, apparently. He's a high power figure in the hip-hop world. But I don't want to digress too far. So Charlamagne, he's one of the interviewers on Breakfast Club. He wants to talk with 6ix9ine's OGs, because he's implying that 6ix9ine pays gang members to act like he's in the gang. And 6ix9ine continues to talk trash on J. Prince Jr. And, you know, 6ix9ine continues his narrative that it's not hard to find him. And Charlamagne says, give it some time. Very ominous. I got that clip here. I want you to listen to it. It's about 4 minutes, but that is what you need to know to listen to this clip. So here you go.
When I went out to LA, I didn't have no show. I went out there and I was out there, blood. Like, I was out there. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't show up to a lot of your shows, though. Why didn't you show up to some of the shows that you had in LA?
Name the shows, since you know so much.
I mean, I don't know the names of them, but they didn't show up to them.
The shows were canceled because the venues were scared.
Right. They were scared that something was going to happen.
They scared that they was going to lose their life. You know what I'm saying? That's shit that happened.
You don't think you effing up your money with this tough guy gangster persona?
Nah, I don't know. What you think is a persona?
It is clearly a persona.
So what makes you think it's a persona?
Because it's, you know what persona means?
Yeah.
What does persona mean?
Like an act.
No, that's not what it means. It means that this is your persona. Like, you give off, you say you're a blood, you say you're a gangster, you say you're tough. That's what you're saying. You're giving off that persona.
So you're saying that I don't live up to it?
I don't know what you live up to. All I'm saying is that eventually it's going to catch up to you. Are these your OGs? Who's your OGs?
I mean, ask them. They right there.
I mean, I know a couple of them is my people, so I know them. But
so ask them. They right there.
I want to talk to one of your OGs. Can we talk to the CEO of the label? Okay, put Trey on the mic. Cause Trey older.
You know, put him on that mic over there.
Yeah, Trey. We've seen this movie before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't you think that he's causing a lot of this on himself?
You talk to the mic, Trey.
In a sense, he's expressing himself just like everybody else that gets on the internet. People perceive it to be him. What's the term? Trolling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
I'm not in his generation. Most of the people in his generation, they do the same thing. This is how the rich, the kids, all the other young millionaires achieve their goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tekashi doesn't get on at no time, I can vouch for that. He doesn't get on camera, he doesn't get on internet saying that he's gonna kill anybody. He does say he's a blood, he does say he's gangster. He doesn't threaten anybody's life. He doesn't threaten anybody's well-being. With that being said, this is America, we have a freedom of speech. So whether he's on the internet saying I'm gangster, come touch me, come take my chain, that's how he feels and what he wants to promote. And in the essence, that doesn't say that these guys in LA could say, yo, when you come out here, I'm gonna kill you. Or the guys in Texas, yo, nigga, you gotta check in when you come here. You dig what I'm saying? We don't check in nowhere with anybody. Having relationships with somebody is something totally different than mm-hmm. checking in. Right now, Junior Prince is a, you know, he's his father's son.
Exactly. These niggas don't make nothing. Look, and y'all here, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all here. This dude never shot nobody, never did nothing, blood, living off his father's name, blood. I make my own name, you heard?
But don't you think it affects business? And like, when the shows start getting canceled and promoters don't want to book them, don't you think that's when it's time to
pump
the brakes?
Nah, it's not that. Only two shows got canceled.
Only two shows.
And that was the LA. No matter of fact, one.
One in LA and the one in World.
No, that wasn't canceled. That was one just
show in
that.
LA. It was now, one Trey, show in LA. You from Brooklyn. You from the same era as I am. We seen this play out before. And it ain't got to be nothing about him threatening to shoot somebody.
Correct.
But there's always that, like you said, clout chaser that wants to prove something.
Anybody can get touched.
And that's what my fear is.
I'm just saying, like, yo, blood, it's not so hard to find me. It's not hard to find me. Correct. It's not hard. Yo, boy, it's not hard to find me.
Don't call me a boy, please.
It's not hard to find me. It's not hard to find me at all.
Can I ask a question?
If someone wanted to find me, they would have been found me.
Give it some time.
I feel like you're going to be waiting a long time, blood.
This is how I want.
And then later, of course, 6ix9ine, he claims that Charlamagne runs with the scum gang, and he denies that. And what's curious is that in the interview, 6ix9ine confirms that he came out of nowhere which supports this narrative of the SoundCloud rappers disrupting the industry. They don't want people to be able to rise to fame on their own without the gatekeepers. So take a listen. Now, of course, the idea of this sort of underage child tape comes up, and one could argue that the idea of the sex tape, that is a classic way to discredit people. That's kind of how, remember Kony, that whole thing went down. But it's also part of the COINTELPRO movement. As I talked about sacrifice magic behind the mic, this is the surveillance system used by the FBI to break down powerful leaders in the disenfranchised communities, okay? And there's many methods of strategy behind this. These are documented things like creating a negative public image, you know, trying to dig up dirt like they did on Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, excuse me. Breaking down the internal organizations by causing infighting and getting snitches involved. Dissension between the groups, restricting access to resources, restricting access to protest and the ability to organize, and so on and so forth. Again, maybe this is, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't. This podcast is called Conspiracy Theories after all. These are all theories. Some more grounded in truth than others, okay. Now, Charlamagne continues to taunt 6ix9ine at this point and asks him if he got his GED yet. 6ix9ine humbly says yes, and then he tells him, he says, yeah, this is where you're supposed to say congratulations, you know. Anyways, you'd have to watch it. It's actually pretty good. That's, again, off the first Breakfast Club from March 2018. And 6ix9ine, he's very honest, right? He reveals that he was actually in special education in school. And he's proud to get his GED, and good for him. This kid dropped out when he was 13 after his father died in order to help his mother. I mean, that's a tragic sort of childhood to have, don't you think? Not to sound too bleeding heart, but, you know, that sounds awful. I didn't have that experience myself, right? How would I know what it feels like for that? Sounds bad. And Charlamagne, in a very prophetic manner, says, well, we'll see if you're around. You won't be around next year.
Who came on? Everybody was like, Then Kiki came on. What are you going to say? And Billy came on. Then Rondo came on. I strive over him. There's nothing you could tell me.
Like, listen, I hope you have a long career, but let's see if you're around next year. And I mean that as an artist and as a human being. What?
So, 6ix9ine, he, in fact, on that first Breakfast Club interview, he said, this is going to be your most popular interview. And he was right. He knew it. Over 10 million views. And to put that in perspective, I don't know if you know this, I had a very popular YouTube channel at one time in my life. The Illuminati Watcher 1 YouTube channel. I was up there for several years until the conspiracy police knocked me down and YouTube banned me. I had a couple hundred videos on there over the course of a few years, and I had 10 million views, but that was over 200 videos, a few of which went viral, a few of which were over a million apiece, one almost at 2 million about Lady Gaga. It's not easy. So anyways, he says, that video was going to be their most watched interview, and he was right. He knew it. This young guy, think about it, this kid, he's a kid, he's very young, born in 96. I mean, he's barely in his 20s. I don't know about you, but when I was in my 20s, I was still trying to figure life out. I still am right now. But so he goes back on the Breakfast Club. A few months later, now we're towards the, let me give you a date. We're not gonna engage our sense of wonder on this one. November 16th, 2018, right before he gets arrested on the RICO charges. I mean, it's less than a week, I think, before he gets arrested. And on this second interview, he goes on this 5-minute tirade about these dirty promoters and the booking agents taking his money, even saying that they threatened his mom. They said they were going to share her address with some people and they were going to do something to her if he, you know, 6ix9ine didn't do this show or whatever. And there's all sorts of this extortion type stuff that they were going to do to 6ix9ine and share information to TMZ about him and all this stuff, which I think is almost, it's almost, it wouldn't, it's not funny per se, but it's very interesting that he's the one that ends up getting arrested, right? Talking about how all these people do all this rotten stuff to him, then he gets arrested. I know, and it sounds like I'm a big, look, it sounds like I'm a big 6ix9ine fanboy, and I kind of am. Guilty as charged. I know a lot of people out there, my dude Mark Devlin, that I've had on the show a couple times, they don't like this this sort of ignorant rap music that's around nowadays, and I get it. I get that, like, what these guys are saying isn't, it's dumbing us down a little bit at times. But, like, sometimes you need to dumb down. Sometimes, like, I'm not trying to listen to J. Cole every day. Sometimes you need something to numb out to a little bit, right? And 6ix9ine's great for that. But, yeah, so he's, where were we at here? So he's continuing his rhetoric about how he does what he wants. True machismo. And unlike, he says, unlike other artists. And what this implies is that the other artists are, they're puppets and they're locked into the contracts. They're doing the bidding of the master, the gatekeepers in the music industry. Okay. Now here's where it gets confusing. He says that Treyway isn't really a label or anything. It's just something he said, which I don't really get that because according to the official story, Treyway is actually a gang, a subset of the Bloods. So I'm not in a gang. I don't know what the gang life looks like, but I do know occult stuff. And if we look at this idea, he talks about Treyway is just an idea similar to 50 Cent's Get the Strap. Doesn't really mean anything. So, I think of memetics, a meme being charged, charging a sigil, chaos magic, similar to what we saw with Pepe the Frog, who sort of disappeared from the world, right? Pepe the Frog is supposedly the meme that was charged to get Donald Trump in the office. Very interesting. And now you've got people like Lana Del Rey using ritual magic and witch hexes to try to get him out of office, which one could argue that might be happening with all this impeachment talk, right? Anyways, 6ix9ine says that he was kidnapped and how he used to be saying that nobody could touch him unless you were right next to him, and that he only fears two things, God and the FBI. He knew they were coming after him, and he said that they were coming at him through his management team, so he fired them. And talks about how he doesn't really have a manager. Again, this is more proof of the not being part of the industrial standard of the music industry. But yeah, here's a clip. I want you to listen to it.
When I got kidnapped, right? I spoke about it with Angie.
I saw it.
I'm like, yo, the opportunity I got out, it was like God was sitting right next to me in that car, right? When I got out, I was bleeding. I was like, yo, like, my life is about to end. I ran. I went to the quickest place where I could find help. I'm like, yo, I need an ambulance. See the media outlets, yo, to cut. Because this is, like, it's, you know what's so crazy? It's not even state. Like, this shit is federal. Like, where? So, I started seeing, like, yo, Tekashi 6ix9ine, because I didn't cooperate with no police. Right, I didn't say nothing.
You did it.
Yeah, like, because my thing is, that's what I wanted to talk about. Remember when I was like, yo, nothing going to happen to me. Nothing going to happen to me. I'm untouchable. I'm immortal. Who going to touch me? Where? Test my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah.
It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Was that humbling?
No, it happened. And I'm like, nobody could touch me. What? Who gonna touch me? Who? I knew how strong my team was. Nobody could touch me. To this day, nobody could touch me. The only way you could touch me is if you were already next to me.
Yeah, if he was in your team. Peoples. Got you.
Now listen to this, right? When I sat there, I'm like, I'm reading an article. I'm like, yo, I'm not even gonna address that. Mm-hmm. People around me, they know I ain't talking.
Do you know Anthony Ellison?
I saw it at Federal. That's beyond us now. Mm-hmm. It's not state. Mm-hmm. I got federal agents sitting in front of my house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cars. It's beyond us. It's nothing I could do. What am I? There's one thing. There's only one thing I fear in life. No, two things. No, I'm not gonna. I fear God, mm-hmm. and I fear the FBI. Only two things I'm scared of in life. Mm-hmm. God first, and the FBI. Remember when they was praying for me?
Yes, and that was a sincere prayer, by the way.
My life is I feel like, yo, I'm always at the top of my game, and I'm always trying to give my fans the best of me. But yo, I'm fighting cases on cases on cases on cases on cases on cases on cases. Trying to stay with the top of the music, the music, the music, the music, the music. Dealing with the bullshit, 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 bullshit. Yo, bro, I'm just, I know people don't like me to say it, but I'm a grown man now. But yo, bro, I still feel like a kid, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm
listen, but that's what we've been telling you from the beginning. You don't, all those cases and the bullshit, you could have avoided.
Nah, but listen to me. No, those cases was from before. Look, so my thing is, right? When I read those articles, I'm like, damn. Niggas trying to make it look like I ratted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But these.
Well, I thought they had surveillance video.
No, they did. But you know what it is?
They said you didn't cooperate.
That's what it said, but it made it seem though.
I didn't think it seemed like that.
Yeah, it's I never thought that.
No, because if you would have read it, they'd have been had the person.
Yeah, I read the articles. I never thought that.
Look.
They even said that the cops are looking at surveillance. They had cameras.
Yeah, but look.
People didn't.
So here he is on the Breakfast Club. Talking about no one could touch him, and then he gets arrested. Boom. Now, there's ideas that he's not really in a gang. That's all fake news. He's just using them to promote an image and sell records. Possible, right? There was this former Treyway gang member named Snowbilly. He was the self-proclaimed brains of 6ix9ine and was trying to protect him. And he has a book, and he's claiming that 6ix9ine was actually used by the Treyway gang to make money. He's releasing this book called 69 Shots, and it reveals the ritual of blooding in 6ix9ine, getting him into the gang. And this Snowbilly was interviewed by the BBN network, the Big Booty Network. I don't know what's BBN stand for. I don't know. And he says Treyway. He confirms Treyway is AKA 93 Gangsta. Now, Adam 22 from No Jumper talks about how he started out as just this weird rapper with anime videos, and then he's the gangster all of a sudden. So maybe this whole fake gang image thing is coordinated by 6ix9ine in order to sell records. Maybe, because he didn't start out that way. But during the interview, he says that someone put a hit on Snowbilly because he wasn't supporting the Treyway plans for 69, like having all the beefs. Apparently, from what I'm reading into this interview, the Treyway gang wanted 6ix9ine to have all these beefs, but maybe 6ix9ine himself did not. Maybe he wasn't into all that. If you go back to the original vision of the scum gang, society can't understand me. It was more of the thug life movement, raising awareness of the problems of inner city life. But Snowbilly wanted 6ix9ine's image to be more positive, but his adversaries in the gang wanted it to be negative. Again, the low vibrational formula. It works. but it doesn't advance or evolve the listenership. So what happened to Snow Billy? Well, he got shot in the head. Shot in the head and neck. That's how serious this gang was. The host of the Big Booty Network there says, he said something funny. He says, that's some real Terminator shit. Because he gets shot in the head and neck, but then continues to walk to the hospital. And, you know, they talk about this guy named Shoddy, who was a bit of a manager taking the money from 6ix9ine, which supports 6ix9ine's vague recollection of events back on the Breakfast Club interviews. Now, I talked to you earlier about these weird names of the songs, and I tried in earnest to determine what these weird names are for, like Tati and Fifi and Billy and all that. Billy is the name of a gang member of the Billies, right? That's the Treyway subset of Blood Gang. So the idea is maybe all of these other names are names of actual gang members. Maybe it's an exchange that, you know, he gets the protection or the clout from the name. But now you know, in exchange, like, you're a gang member. Now you got a whole song, this hit song named after you. That's kind of cool, right? I don't know. It's an idea I'm floating. I asked on the social media feeds if anyone had any ideas, but I didn't hear anything. So you can hit me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Actually, in fact, don't. Don't follow me on any of those. I don't care. Social media is dumb. I don't like Facebook. Thus, I don't like Instagram. I enjoy them. I don't like what they do with the data. All that privacy they intrude on. They're data mining. They're finding out everything about you and selling it. They're feeding the artificial intelligence and the transhumanistic matrix. As Little Uzi Vert kill your social media. Anyways, yeah, you can find me on all those at Illuminati Eyes on Twitter, at Isaac Weissop on Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, but I don't check it, so don't bother with that. You can. I'm on there. I do post updates to the website and the podcast and all that on the Facebook. So now, 6ix9ine does say he's having a lot of fun with these beefs on the Breakfast Club. But according to Snow Billy, maybe that wasn't what he wanted. His album, his first real album, he is a character on the cover, and he's pissing on a black and white floor. Now, that is the black and white floor, of course, Freemasonry. That's the agenda. That's the big system. He's pissing on the industry, the Moses pavement, the reconciliation of opposites. Is he saying he is carving out a new path, a new way for artists to avoid the music industry and the gatekeepers? Maybe. Maybe that's why he's in prison right now. We could also argue that gematria, numerology, has a role here. The Manly P. Hall, very famous Freemason, wrote a book about the secret destiny of America. Talks about America being this big experiment in freedom and free will, but more importantly, in the secret teachings of all ages, he talks about the numbers 6 and 9. He says, and I quote, 666 becomes 6 plus 6 plus 6, or 18, and this in turn becomes 1 plus 8, or 9. The number of the saved, the number of the saved refer to man himself, whose symbol is the number 9. Blase, blase, blah. The sacred number 9, the symbol of man in his unregenerate state, and also the path of his resurrection. What are we talking about here? He ties 6 and 9 together. 9 being the number of saved man and the path of resurrection. I don't know that 6ix9ine understood this or read this or planned for that. There is an idea that there is a sort of collective unconscious out there, and people get in touch with it without them knowing. And maybe, again, put this in the back pocket till we get to the conclusion, which is coming up real soon. Hang in there. 93 Gang, Treyway Gang. It was formed in 1993, apparently. 93 Now that is the number for Crowley's Thelema, Aleister Crowley's religion. You also have the symbolism of the color of hair on Tekashi 6ix9ine, the rainbow. The rainbow hair. The rainbow is a symbol of peace or light from darkness. The example most of us know is after the great flood, the great deluge, God gave us the rainbow as a promise to never do that again to humanity. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Isaac, this guy's rapping about murdering people, having unprotected sex with many women. How can this guy possibly be a man of peace, a man of God? I mean, maybe he is just giving you a vision of the world that he lives in, but he's trying to break free from it, trying to give inspiration to others to get out of it. So we have to look at, what does 6ix9ine mean? Again, we go back to the No Jumper interview, and he says, I don't want to talk about that right now. I need people to get to know me first. But later, we find out what it means from Tekashi himself. He says, I never lost sense of where I came from. That's what makes me 6ix9ine. The true meaning of 6ix9ine is, just because you're right doesn't mean I'm wrong. You just haven't seen life from my perspective. Turn the 6 upside down, it's 9, but remains the same in a different perspective. Open your mind and heart. So, this is the exciting conclusion. He's got a lot of these symbols that we've been talking about. The black and white floors, he's pissing on them, showing disrespect to the Illuminati, arguably. But on the other hand, we also see a lot of this in his videos, like Gummo. You see the 666 hands, the womb of the Illuminati over the eyes. Probably just gang signs in this example, because apparently that's a symbol they use, right? But mostly, this guy, we know he's a problem. He disrupts the business model where the gatekeepers of the industry, the well-established industry, decide who can be famous, who can be quote-unquote innovative, who can be popular. And of course, it's all done by signing the contract. For the right price, you could have all these things. Now, just like Tupac, he's got this positive message underneath it all. It's a tough one to see, I know. You got to get through the face tats. But here's an example I want to give you. This is before the 2017-2018 rise to fame that he had. Unprecedented, by the way. Unprecedented rise to fame. We've never seen this before. In this video for Scum Life, which also, by the way, is loaded with images of dead bodies and gore from not promoting it per se, but showing you how ugly war can be and such. And it's funny that YouTube allows this to happen, but me talking about things gets me banned. So, you know, think about that for a minute. YouTube owned by Google. Anyways, in the Scum Life video, that it ends with this narrative talking about this opium of the masses, Karl Marx, right? But anyways, I want you to listen to it, and I know it's difficult to hear what's being said, but it's this idea, and he talks about how there's an agenda funded by the rich to keep people down. So take a listen.
This, my dear viewers, is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to listen to uncensored media for a few minutes. What I have to say is very important. The U.S. government is funded by the rich and likes to keep people in the dark, ignorant, and on the brain level of children. They make sure people are busy, making money to survive, to take care of their family, their house, their lawn. They want people thinking they are free and have a choice and to do whatever they want, but they can't. The people that are representing you are bought and paid for to keep you stupid in your small, stupid little world. Why don't the rich pop stars and film stars and white stockbrokers who use speed and cocaine and ecstasy every day get thrown in jail? Why? Because you are above the law. You are rich. The reality is that every war was about money, and the stupid people must die because the elite decided it. You sit in front of reality TV every day to kill your time, and you think you are up to date because you watch Anderson Cooper and other empty balloons without their own opinion. How you look doesn't matter. Brands don't matter. Drugs don't matter. This is all created to keep you stupid. The free press, TV, Hollywood movies, schools, universities, and religion are all opium for the masses, as Karl Marx would say. I want to make you wake up and show a hand to change the world. We need to cleanse people, okay? We need a reboot. We need to destroy that system. I need you now. Thank you.
So, why am I comparing Tekashi 6ix9ine to the late great Tupac Shakur? Because what a lot of people miss is that Tupac was more of a threat to the system than the mainstream understand. To the mainstream, they just see a sort of thuggish rapper. A menace to society, if you will. 90s reference. But the truth is, he had bigger plans. And much like other people in history, it's... You can have a dangerous message. You can have a fan base, but you can't have both. And they take you out. So, Tupac was supposedly going to work on a project with Chuck D to bring back that sort of social consciousness message like Public Enemy had, but he did not make it that far. His last album, released posthumously, was about the Illuminati. Talking about killing the Illuminati. What do you think that means? You can't be that big of a threat, apparently. Tupac, of course, again, thug life meant the hate you give little infants F's everyone. And you can listen to a lot of his interviews. He talks a lot about bringing awareness to, social issues and such. I mean, regardless of what you think of the guy, people claim he was a fake gangster and all that, but whatever, right? The point is, he was a voice for a community. And he wanted to help guide that community in a direction, which begs the question of why is that such a bad thing? And is that the same thing Tekashi is talking about? I argue that it is. He is a threat, I believe. I mean, you got to look at it from the Illuminati perspective. Here's this guy coming out of nowhere and crushing the Billboard charts, crushing interviews, millions and millions of watches, of views. This guy's too big of a threat, so they got to take him down. I mean, according to my amateur theory here, this is just from watching a handful of interviews and such. But, if you watch his video for Gotti, you see him down in, I believe he's in the Dominican. He's in these, not so desirable areas. Lots of poor people, poor brown people, the thing that the Illuminati don't like. And he's handing out money to these people. And he talks about that in his interviews, too, about giving money away to a lot of people that need it. I don't want to say he's like a modern day Robin Hood, but that's the image that he's portraying at times. So I don't think it's that far fetched to put him in the same likeness as Tupac. I think 6ix9ine is much different than XXXTentacion. While he was a very talented artist, He had a sort of bad track record, too, of domestic abuse, which I guess you could argue Tupac has, and even Tekashi, right? Even 6ix9ine, he's they say that he was choking a fan and, doing all kinds of wild stuff. But I think the point that we're trying to get out here is there's a very strong potential that there is a coordinated effort to silence this guy. And time will tell if that pans out to be true or not, but I just wanted to throw that idea out there because I haven't heard anyone take that stance yet. So I hope I was able to sort of convey the right message there. In fact, one more sort of tie-in to Tupac, worth mentioning. would be the lyrics to this song, Bebe. It's a song that Tekashi did with a reggaeton artist. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Anuel AA? I don't know. It don't matter. But in the lyrics, he does talk about this woman that is a devil, and he would like to be the demon. But he's talking about, you know, obviously the temptation this woman brings, and that she is the the son of Lucifer, or the daughter of Lucifer. I don't know how you translate. It depends. I've seen it both ways. So, but then Anuel, he is rapping, and he talks about telling the secrets, like the Illuminati. So again, it's a little flimsy, I'll give you that, but if he's talking about the Illuminati, then clearly this is a conversation had. And Tupac clearly talked about the Illuminati in his circle. He had his last album, The Don Illuminati Theory. And if you haven't seen the Bebe video, fellas, take a solid from me. It's worth watching. or even some ladies too, right? I don't want to assume your sexuality. So again, the idea here is that this guy has a message they don't want you to hear. Much like your boy Isaac on the YouTube, there's a message they don't want you to hear. It's too dangerous. Too dangerous to the established system that people have worked many years to get into. They want to shut him down. Example, he has this new album, Dummy Boy, which, again, I'm a self-admitted 6ix9ine fan. I didn't start that way. The first time I heard this guy, I didn't like him. I thought it was awful. I thought it was trash. And while I'll admit it is trashy, but he started to grow on me. And then I listened to the interviews and I thought, wow, this young man is actually very insightful. But Pitchfork, they gave his Dummy Boy album a 3.4. It's a very low score on the album out of 10. The reviewer said that he was just throwing sounds and flows at the wall, praying something sticks. And then he talks about how he bit from Lil Baby and had these fake reggaeton tracks. And none of that's true. It's a fantastic album, I think. And of course, my opinion is a bit tainted. But for comparison purposes, I was also a big fan of the Diplomats back in the 2000s there. They had a new album called Diplomatic Ties, and I couldn't even make it through. It was so awful. It's just like kind of, I don't know, it's kind of dated. I don't know what it is. I didn't like it. I didn't listen to the whole thing. But they gave that a better score than Dummy Boy. And Dummy Boy, I can keep on repeat. I think it's really good. But we're not here to listen to my very shitty taste in music. What we're here to talk about is Tekashi 6ix9ine. Let's watch what happens to this young man as he continues to buck the system. Will he keep bucking the system, or will he sell out to get out of this prison scare? I mean, I wouldn't blame him either way. I don't know that I'd have enough strength to do a lifetime bid for whatever it is that they're claiming he did. And maybe he did do this stuff. I don't know. I'm certainly not saying that this guy needs to be canonized as a saint by any means. But he's got a very interesting story, and I hope I, at the very bare minimum, open your eyes up to the idea that maybe there's more going on than meets the eye. There's a new Transformers movie coming out, by the way, off of that. Anyways, so I want you to, mull that over, and as you watch the news unfold, keep an eye open for Tekashi 6ix9ine news. Let's see if he makes it back out of prison. Let's see what happens to him if he does. Anyways, I want to thank you for your time. Please leave a review on the iTunes. Please, you can go to my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com. Leave a comment. I'll have a post for this exact show. Leave a comment. What do you think? You tell me. Sign for my free email newsletter while you're there. That's the only way you and I can stay connected. Because believe you me, the clock is ticking and they will shut down all the other avenues of communication between you and I. The podcast, the Patreon. Are you on the Patreon yet? Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. If you are, I appreciate it. It's a matter of time. They shut Milo's Yiannopoulos, whatever his name is, that right-wing gay dude. Patreon kicked him off. So how long before they kick me off? Well, clock is ticking, my friends. So sign up for my free email newsletter. That is a email list I manage. I will not sell that. I will not spam you out. You sign up and I will always have a way to get in touch with you. All right, I want to thank you for your time. Again, be your best for those who deserve your best.